It's time for the Ronin role-playing podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Ronin Role Playing Podcast. I am your host, Scormy. And today we are actually starting play with Dresden Files Accelerated. This is, as I mentioned last week, an urban fantasy game, a lot of supernatural elements. And I will be playing Everett Dakota, who is a monster hunter, mortal, very young, inexperienced, out for vengeance. His family was killed by supernatural forces. I think we said red vampires last time. But he's just out to kill monsters. Okay? He wants vengeance against any sort of monsters. They're all to be ruined. So, he does stupid things. And I don't have great... since he's alone, I think he's going to die pretty quick. But it's pretty easy to make characters, so let's just see what happens. Anyway, so we are using the Game Master's Apprentice core set of cards. It's a storytelling tool to determine how things go with the game. We're not using Mythic this time. We're going to try this out. So first of all, we need to set a scene. So let's... pull three cards. Profitable, avoid, emotion. Instead, let's go with tragic, corrupt, peace. I like that better. I think that sets a better scene. Tragic, corrupt, peace. You know what? I'm going to say this is right after his family's been killed and his home out in the... we're going to say he lived in the woods of Montana, and monsters came along and wiped out his family and burned down his home. For some reason, he came home from his evening shift at the 7-Eleven in town. He worked at some, you know, small convenience store to find the house burned out and everybody dead, torn to shreds. And it's clear to him, anyway, the monsters came and did this. Maybe he saw them leaving and wasn't able to chase them away. They moved away too fast, but it's clear that monsters came. The police won't believe him. He's got nowhere else to go, so before they could hand him off to the system, he slips away, got in his truck, and just drove. And just drove and drove. Drove for days. Until finally he comes into a town. And he is at this point seething. He just knows these monsters are out there. He doesn't know what they are. But he's going to find answers. And he's going to get them back. For his parents. For every one of his siblings that were younger than him. For taking away his home. He will have his vengeance. So, yeah, it's early morning, and I don't know this city, but let's say he rolls into Denver. Let's set everything in Denver this time. And he's known the woods his whole life, so he knows these things aren't from the country. They're not from the mountains. They were not from where he lived. So he followed them as best he could and led him to Denver. So, which is quite a distance, but, you know. Anyway, he's going to do some pretty stupid things here in Denver. But what? Well, why don't we get some clues here? Unfair... Begin prison. Don't want to have him start out in prison. So, humble, confront murder. Maybe he's looking for help. Maybe Everett Dakota is looking to find out what he can, but also knows that, you know, if his father couldn't fight off these monsters and defend his family, well, what's he gonna do alone? So he spends a little time talking to people quietly, maybe getting on the internet, searching, seeing if there's any sort of people that are in a similar situation that are also looking to fight against these supernatural monsters. And he does come across, he finds some information online, learns a little bit about the Accords, which is Queen Mab's rules, effectively. Queen Mab being in charge of the Fae Winter Court. And people who sign on to the Accords, monsters mostly, but there have been a few mortals like Johnny Marcone, the crime boss in Chicago. He is now Baron Marcone, and he is signed on to the Accords. Well, there are certain proprieties that the supernatural world observes. There are certain things that you don't do, like when there's neutral territory that is declared, nobody will commit violence there. To do so brings down the wrath of Queen Mab on their head, and nobody wants to do that. She's kinda mean. Anyway, so he knows not to screw around on neutral ground, and he knows if you're a signatory, you have to go into fair duels and things like that. There's certain, if you want to combat somebody else, and, you know, they go the whole dueling method and whatnot. And that's great. But Everett reads about this and goes, that's a good thing I'm not a signatory. I can do what I want, which is going to get him in so much trouble. So he's going to start prowling around the seedier sides of Denver. I don't know Denver. If you're from there, whatever. This is a fantastical view of the world anyway. So let's just say there is a seedy side to Denver. You can tell me in the comments if there really is one. I don't know. And, you know, in his assumption that, well, monsters are lowlifes, they've got to be hanging out in the sewer. In fact, he's about halfway tempted to start crawling through the sewers and looking for these things, not even really knowing what they are, but he suspects they're vampires, but there's different types of vampires, and he doesn't know what they are for sure, but he's got a good mind to think, you know, well, it sounds like the sort of thing a Red Court vampire would do, from what he's read on the dark web. So that's what he's going with. Now he's on a search for red vampires. They aren't actually red, obviously. That's just, there's the White Court, the Black Court, the Red Court. So the Red Court wear flesh masks. They're really very inhuman looking things that can't stand the sunlight for the most part, but can go in the sunlight with their flesh mask. And they're like ticks, basically. They're not insect-like, but they hold all their blood in their belly, and they're just really disgusting things, but with their flesh masks are very beautiful. And they have a lot of influence in the government and media and whatnot. Very dangerous, very nasty. The Black Court are your classic Dracula-like vampires. And they're almost extinct, so they really don't count. And the White Court are, as I mentioned last week, effectively sex vampires. They feed off of emotion, usually during sex. and they'll drain your soul away and kill you. They don't create vampires that way, though. Red Court do create vampires, and Black Court can, through bites. They can infect others. White Court breed with humans or each other to create new White Court vampires. So, yeah. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He's after vampires. And he's hanging around this dirty, dark alleyway. Because there's a bar over there nearby. He's kind of keeping an eye on its parking lot and the front door of it. Because he knows from what he's heard that that's a place where supernatural beings go. Of various types. They're all monsters anyway. None of them matter. But he's looking to do some damage. He's going to find him what looks like a vampire. And see what he can do about taking him out. And he's too young and stupid not to know any better. So, let's see what happens, shall we? We're going to go with our first odds choice of the night. While he's sitting there watching, does anything bad happen directly to him? Well, I'm going to say there's bad odds of that because he's fairly well hidden. And no, definitely no. Nothing bad happens to him. But does he see any what he views to be vampires that he can potentially jump and maybe kidnap? Yes. All right. So let's get some scene descriptions here. He hears a sharp accusation. Light flickers briefly. Something small scuttles up his leg. And there's a sulfurous aura. So basically, let's say he's sitting there and a car arrives. Two people get out. It's a nice car. You know, one of those various Italian sports cars. You know the type. Doesn't matter. It's black. It's black. It's expensive. And a man and a woman get out and they are arguing. The woman seems very irritated with the man who was driving. The parking lot lights flicker some, probably needing replaced. The bug means nothing. And there's a slight breeze coming from that direction. He was a hunter. He was trained to be a hunter as a child. So he knows better than to be downwind of his prey. So the smell from the lot comes towards him, and it's just a slight sulfurous smell. So, smells like monster. Well, he doesn't want to give himself away. So he's going to sit some more and watch. But actually, I think I'm going to offer myself a fate point. As game master, I am invoking too young to know better his aspect. I can choose to sit there and wait patiently, but it'll cost me a fate point. Or I can gain a fate point by blustering in and following them into that bar. Oh, what the hell? Let's take the fate point. So I have a fourth fate point, and in his stupid youth, he's going to go walk into that bar. We're going to call it the, if we can get a name here, Delicious Treasure. Okay. We're going to say this is a nudie bar. In fact, it is a gentleman's club called Delicious Treasure. We are in, let's write down these notes. Denver, Delicious Treasure, Gentleman's Club. Yes, I can spell and everything. All right, so he's going to go step in the door and see what happens. Well, if you've ever been into a gentleman's club, you know, they've kind of got bouncers. So I'm going to say that it's bad odds that he can get passed unnoticed because of his baby face and being young. Nope, he gets stopped at the door. I'd say there's a very large, dark-skinned man there. He's almost big enough to fit and block the entire door frame. Just inside the door, wearing a very tight black shirt, shows all of his muscles. And black jeans. And he looks down at Everett. Sorry, son. You gotta be 21 to enter this establishment.
Oh. But I am. Hold on.
And he reaches into his wallet and fiddles around and pulls out his fake ID. Let's see if it works for him. I'm going to say it's already bad odds for him. No. It's clearly a fake ID, too. Which just makes the security guy chuckle a bit. Yeah, you're 42? No. Sorry, son. Try again when you're a little bit older. Maybe 4 or 5 years, I'd have to guess. Ugh. Now, here's the thing. Everett could push this and make a scene, or not. I mean, he's already made some level of a scene trying to get in the first place. But, you know, gotta figure, busy gentleman's club. Maybe he hasn't been noticed. Maybe. Well, pretty sure I'm informed by the whole he got the fate point for doing the too young to know better. No. 42. I just got this. No, it's Montana. There must be a misprint. I'm 24. I know, I look really young. But seriously, come on, man. Now, man, Babyface works against him in this situation. But no, I think he's going to still try. So, can he try a little guile here? He's going to try to talk his way through this. And he doesn't have... Guile isn't really his strong point, but... Yeah, no. He ended up with he has a plus one to start with. And he ended up with a negative one on the roll. So, a straight out zero. That's a failure, no matter how you look at it. So, yeah. Now he's starting to irritate the security guy. We're going to call him Bruce. Bouncer. Okay. Sorry, I have to keep these notes for later use. He's got a name tag on it. It says Bruce, let's say. And Bruce just scowls. Listen, son. I'm telling you for the last time. Turn around and leave, or I'm gonna have to get nasty. Yo, man, I think you've been watching Roadhouse a few too many times. Fine. Everett's gonna turn and walk, but he's already thinking. There's gotta be a way in this place. Problem is, he didn't get a negative on his guile attempt, but I want to make one more check. Just for... Let's see. Yeah, that came back a zero as well. Boy, the dice have failed me lately. I'm just trying to think to myself, did anybody notice this little encounter? And I'm pretty sure somebody did. And no, I'm not going to invoke In Pursuit to trigger the hunt yet. No, not in this case. He's just trying to get some information. So instead, he's going to go back across the street and slip into the alley, get in his truck, basically, where he has his truck parked in an alley, and keep an eye on the club and see what happens. So let's see if we can get any clues to that. Occult, abjure, vault. Well, I like the occult part, but abjure, vault? Not sure how that comes into it. We could reverse those two cards. Injure, romance, cult, I'd have to reverse that one as well, too. Hostile. Injure. Romance. Oh, okay. So I'm going to say that there was that couple that came in, right? Well, after a little while, the man walks out a side door towards the parking lot with the woman now dressed quite provocatively and spangles and such. Lots of glitter. She's just barking at him. She is not pleased. And he basically is like, we're through. And he stalks over to the his sports car and pushes a button on the remote. And it starts up as he approaches. And the wing door comes up as he walks over and steps into the vehicle. It closes and starts to drive away. Now, he's going to try and follow this guy. He's got a feeling this guy, he may not be involved, but he may have some information for him. You remember, young and dumb. So, what are we going to do here? I think we're going to try to follow him. And again, this, I'm going to make this another guile check. All right, he got a plus one that time. So, that's a two. It's a fair result. Okay. So, he's able to keep up, staying back a ways, following this guy through the midnight streets. He's trying not to be noticed, just kind of blending into traffic, but his vehicle also starts to stand out a bit as they leave the seedier side of Denver, head more into city center, more nicer areas, better apartment complexes, that sort of thing. So he thinks he's not being noticed, though. And he's going to keep an eye on him until that guy pulls into the underground parking garage for a large building downtown. And he's going to drive past, try to slow down and take a look, but he's going to pull over maybe a block away and then walk in. I'm changing dice for this one. Again, we're going to go with guile. I'm assuming that fits with what we're trying to do. We're trying to sneak. He's stalking this guy, right? And I got a straight up zero, which ends up a plus one, which is an average result. He's not very good at this, you may have noticed. But he's still giving it a shot. He's going to slip into this garage and see if he can find, you know, walk around and see if he can find that vehicle. There was nobody at the gate, so he was able to get in without being seen, at least not by any people on site. He believes he's not being seen, let's say that. And he does not see the vehicle on the first level, so he's going to continue to walk around. I'm going to make another sneak check to see if, to avoid being noticed. Well, that breaks it to a zero. He got a mediocre result. He continues to think that he has not been noticed, but I'm going to say that there are cameras and somebody has spotted him. So he's going to continue to sneak around. What's the next result? Ooh, that's another mediocre result, man. I do not sneak well. Maybe this is why his dad stopped taking him hunting after a certain while and told him to go get a job. Keeps scaring away the deer. Well, yeah, just kind of move along, looking at vehicles, but not really paying too much attention. He's looking for a specific black or very, very, you know, midnight blue, very dark colored Italian sports car. He's got a really good view of it, so she should be able to spot it. Just a matter of walking up these levels, or more down these levels of the garage. So we're going to try the next level. Ooh, that's disastrous. So he starts with a plus one. That away. You got a one here. Take that away. You end up with a negative one. Poor result. I'm going to say that he walked in. He didn't even notice the cameras this time. He's just blissfully walking along. He's scared out of his mind. But he doesn't even notice the elevator open. And the two guys wearing just black uniforms step out and start following him. All right, he's going to go another level. Is he able to spot this? Because sneaking ain't helping him any. We're going to see if he can spot this car. And I think that'll be focus. Let me check that really quick. Go to basics of making a character. Aspects, name, all that. Approaches, yes. Hey, what tells us about these approaches? Where do we find those? Please tell me that there is a quick reference. Yes. Actions. Oh, about that. Would you be so kind as to explain what the various approaches cover? Page 101, maybe? Okay, here we go. Let's see, I was looking at focus. Time-consuming action in which close attention is paid to details so the task is properly executed on the first attempt, such as a sniper shot, attentively standing watch, disarming a bank's alarm system. Yeah, we're going to call that focus. I think that's appropriate. So we end up with a plus two on that, so that's a fair result. I'm going to say he thinks what he spotted, what he believes, is the car. And he can even see the number underneath the car. And we're going to call that 1022. And just as he's starting to jot this stuff down on his notebook, rough hands grab him from behind. You know, he wasn't paying attention to them. As the two security dudes, I'd almost venture to say goons, grab both of his arms. All right. No point fighting. We've got you. Put your hands behind your back. Wait, what? I just... Hold on now. Let's see. Can he talk his way out of this? Actually, that's a really good result. That's a plus three total. Yeah. Hold on. It's not what you think. It's not. They clink handcuffs on him and whip him around. What are you talking about, boy? You're not down here casing cars? No. Look, I'm from out of state. This guy cut me off and almost caused me to get in an accident. I just wanted to get his license plate number. That's all. Maybe follow up on that with the police, because he's just driving like a nut. The other guy motions to his, that is kind of like him. Doesn't matter. He shouldn't be here. You know, you're trespassing, right? Yeah, I know. I didn't mean anything by it. I just wanted to follow up, man. This guy's a menace. All right, well, come with us. And they lead him off. Now, let's draw to see if, we're going to say even odds. Are they taking him to hand him off to the police? Yep. So that's not good. But we can get around that. This character is kind of built for that. They drag him up to their security office on the first floor. No, I was going to say it's lower level. It's down just below the main level. And there's the dragon. I'm going to say it's just below the main level of the apartment complex. Skyscraper, whatever. And they'll call in the police. The police are going to arrive. And he tries to explain to them the same story he gave the security goons. But it doesn't matter. They switch off handcuffs and take him outside, walk him about a block away, unhandcuff him, and tell him he needs to get out of here. I work in security, just as an aside. And police don't want to arrest for trespass. They don't. The paperwork's a hassle. What they want you to do is leave and not come back. They catch you again, well, then they'll bother with the paperwork and let you spend a day or two in jail. All, you know, whatever. Most of the time, it's a cite and release sort of situation. Most of the time, they don't even bother to do a citation. In fact, it's just, get out of here, forcefully. If you won't listen to security, you will listen to the cop, right? They leave you the choice of spend the night in jail or go away. And so they're going to take him over to his vehicle and tell him to get the hell out of here. Don't come back. And so that's where we're going to leave this at that point and see what happens with Everett next time. But before we get there, remember, you can always follow me on Twitter, at Scormy, or also on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/Scormy. You can drop by Scormy.com, which is the preferred way to follow me. We have podcasts, we have a blog, we have a Discord server. I'd love for everybody to join the Discord server so we can have a very nice conversation about gaming. That'd be great. Also, maybe we could, you know, get around to doing this. I could do this on Discord and y'all could listen in live. That'd be fun. Anyway, we do that with Loot Mechanics, the podcast I do with my brother. Anyway, so till next time, I'm Squirmy. And remember, if you can't play with your friends, well, you can always play with yourself.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to Scormy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Scormy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.